This morning I've chosen to speak about a place that I think we've all heard about all of our lives. It's a place of great beauty, of rest, of comfort for the believer. I'm going to speak about the glories of heaven this morning. This is a very big topic. I feel like I'm just pulling out a few points from the Bible that describe heaven to us. However, I don't think it's possible for us to really get a true grasp of the beauties, of the splendor of heaven, of the just the awesomeness of what God has prepared for believers. I think in our feeble, but in our earthly understanding, it's very difficult to really describe the beauty of heaven. There are almost 700 Bible verses that directly refer to heaven. There's also hundreds of others that that allude to heaven and the glories there. I think the heaven is mentioned throughout the Bible. We see it as the dwelling place of God. I'll be reading a lot of Bible verses throughout this time here that speak about heaven. Deuteronomy 26, verse 15 reads, "Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey." Speaks about God dwelling in heaven and looking down on the earth. Matthew 6, verse 9 we read, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It's not just God that dwells there. The angels also dwell there. In Luke 2, verse 15, we read, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Matthew 28, verse 2 reads, "And, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it." Believers and innocent children who have died also live here. I'll read Revelations chapter 4 and 5. Revelation 4 and 5. This is the Apostle John writing about his experiences in the Isle of Patmos. And the glimpses that God gave him into heaven. This is, I think, his description of what he saw. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings, and thunderings, and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having out every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. It seems, we see here that John saw a great multitude in heaven worshiping and praising God. Luke 16, verse 22 reads, And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Jump to verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. I won't really speak about hell this morning. I may speak about that at another time, but I'd like to point out that everyone has a choice to make in life, whether they will serve God, whether they will repent and turn to God. That choice will determine our eternal destiny. Hebrews 12, verse 23 reads, To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. We as believers have our citizenship in heaven. Hebrews 11, 6 reads, But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Philippians 3, 20, For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible refers, I think, every time about heaven, it refers as being up, as people going up into heaven, as the angels coming down from heaven. So where is heaven? Well, I don't think that's a question that I can really answer. However, it does seem to me that heaven is out beyond the universe as we know it. It's for sure not, I don't think it's in this earth as we know it. The Bible reads that the earth will be destroyed, 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. However, I'm going to say that in some of these things, this may be just my interpretation of what I read here, and I'm probably not fully understanding what is revealed in the scriptures about heaven. I have some verses here that I'll read that speak about looking up to heaven and of that nature. Mark rose and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the two fishes divided he among them all. The time of the ascension in Luke 9 verse 51 says, "And it came to pass that when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." Acts 1 verses 9 through 11. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." I think the Bible is clear that Jesus ascended to heaven. He is reigning there and will at some point return again to this earth to take his people home. How big is heaven? Well, it seems there's plenty of room for everyone that wants to go there, that accepts God's gifts to us. In Revelation 21, verse 16, it reads about the city of New Jerusalem. "And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." This would describe a place that's approximately 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Is this the extent of heaven? I don't know. I don't really think that heaven can be measured by our earthly measurements. However, this gives us a picture of a huge place. Billions of people could live in an area this large. I think there will be plenty of room for all who accept the gift of salvation. Heaven is a place of great beauty. The streets are paved with gold. Gold, in our earthly context, is one of the most valuable minerals. It's also one of the most scarce. However, in heaven, there's so much of it, they just simply pave the streets with it. The buildings are made of precious stones. Revelation 19, verses 19 through 21. "And the foundations of the wall were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst." These are all very beautiful stones. "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." Today's gold that we know of still has some impurities in it. It can't be seen through. It would appear that in heaven the gold is so pure that it's transparent. Pearls are very beautiful jewels today. Usually they're iridescent. This means that they change color as you look at them from different angles. The beauty in heaven is, I think John here was just, he saw it was so beautiful, he couldn't really describe it, but he did his best to describe it, the beauties he saw. I think there is light, there's water, there's trees, there's fruit, etc. in heaven. Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. It seems there will be eating and drinking in heaven. Will we need physical sustenance in heaven? The Bible talks about how we will receive a new body, about how everything will be changed. I'm just going to read these verses, and I think we can take them at their face value. I think they are a description of heaven. Luke 22, verse 30, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Revelation 2, verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Personally, I don't really think we'll need to eat as in heaven as such. However, the Bible does talk for our sustenance. However, the Bible does talk about eating and drinking, so it's possible that that will be there for our enjoyment. I just found the subject really fascinating to study, in the sense that we're describing a place that we really don't understand, and yet I think we can get a glimpse into the beauty of heaven. Every righteous action will be acknowledged and rewarded in heaven. In contrast, unrighteousness will also be called out and acknowledged, and there is also a place of punishment for unrighteousness. We can take comfort that though the righteous are often reviled on this earth, though they're looked down on, misunderstood, God will set things straight in heaven. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Revelation 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. I think the Bible is clear that there will be a reward in heaven for those who serve God, those who live faithfully for him. Is time as we know it measured in heaven? The Bible does give the thought that in heaven, while this earth still stands, the believers, those who have gone on before, we'll have a sense of recognizing that there is still an earth, that there are still people living on the earth. It does seem to speak in Revelation in places that those in heaven do see the judgment coming upon the earth. There's also a verse that talks about one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. So it's possible that time may be measured in heaven, but I can't really say definitely that it is. What will we do in heaven? Well, I believe that we will serve God in heaven. Revelation 7, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and the he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. I think our desire will be to honor and serve God. We will worship him in heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, we read about how the beasts and everyone there worshipped God. Again in chapter 5, we also read, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever." That there will be an acknowledgement in heaven that God rules forever, that he is the ultimate and final authority. In Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12, we read more about the worship of God. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." We also read in the Bible that Jesus is preparing a place for us. It can also be, could be, I think, translated as preparing rooms for us to live in. We will all be personally welcomed to heaven by Jesus himself. We will love and serve him forever there. I think our words are very inadequate in describing heaven. I think it's far more glorious than we can possibly imagine. I believe we all have an equal opportunity to enter heaven. I think it's so sad when individuals allow their sinful lifestyles to overpower their better judgment and do not repent and turn towards Jesus for salvation. I don't think God wants anyone to not attain heaven. It's his desire that we all live a life of faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 gives us some hints as to how we can attain that place. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body preserve blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I believe that God gives us the power to live faithfully. He gives us an opportunity to reach out to his salvation for us, to repent from sin, to turn away from sin, to live for him. I'll ask the chorister for a song.